Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Well, if you've been listening to us here, 97.1 FM Talk, for the last about 90 minutes, we have had live breaking coverage of Iran's missile attack on the whole of Israel. And we have listened to a lot of what Trey Yingst, Dave Foy, and the Jennifer Griffin and the folks at Fox News have had to report on this. But we're very honored to be able to bring on to the show with us Jim Carafano, of course, the senior counselor to the president, and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being with us today. I want to ask you, what do you make of what we've seen so far between Iran and Israel?
You know, it's funny because literally 1 hour ago, I was talking. I'm in Warsaw. And I was talking to one of the best, most respected Middle East experts that I know. And I said, hey, what's going to happen? And is Iran going to unleash on Israel? And he said, no. So...
An hour ago.
So that was an hour ago. So I got to run him down and find him and say, hey, dude, look, I think this is unbelievably risky for the Iranians. The Israelis have a target set that they can go after. They can actually threaten the capacity of Israel the capacity of Iran to basically run Iran. I mean, that's the kind of damage the Israelis can do. So I haven't seen the initial reports on this. So I don't know what's going on. You know, the Iranians did a big missile launch against the Americans in Iraq, and they basically shot stuff into the desert. And they were going like, hey, they were back channeling to the U.S. And they said, hey, please don't shoot back. We're just trying to pretend like we're retaliating here. So I don't know if the Iranians did some kind of strike knowing that it wouldn't be terribly effective, mm-hmm. and then hoping they would back channel to the Israelis. Hey, that's the end of it. We took a shot, you know, we've recovered our honor and we're done now. Or if they're starting something big and the Israelis are going to respond. So I think, you know, we'll know in a couple of hours where this is going. But you know, the Israelis have decimated, Hamas. They've eliminated most of the military leadership of Hezbollah, and they've done considerable damage, and they're driving them from the border. You know, the Iranians could make this three for three for the Israelis. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's important to talk about the actions from Israel that have led up to this moment in time. Israel has very surgically been taking out the leaders of these terrorist organizations that have been threatening the lives and the existence of the Israeli people. How consequential have Israel's actions been against these terrorist organization, the infrastructure of people that they have there? I mean, I would assume that the world benefits from the decimating of these terrorist organizations.
Well, you know, without question, I think when this is all said and done, the Israelis are going to have set back the physical threat to the security of Israel for months and years. But if Iran is free to do what it wants to do, it'll just build back. So the future really depends on the thing. You know, when we first started this conversation, literally months ago, you and I, back before October 7th, and I said the root of all the evil here is Iran, we're going to be right back where we started. If the U.S. is going to let Iran raise enormous revenue, fund these groups, you know, we're going to pour money into UNRWA to rebuild Hamas. We're going to give money and rebuild Hezbollah. If we just do what we did before, you know, someday we'll be right back where we started. Or if we take a different path, like we did 4 years ago under Trump, and we systemically work to limit Iran's capacity to do bad, we cut off funding for Hamas through these international organizations, then, you know, maybe we'll get a different outcome next time. Mm-hmm. But this is a future that's not written.
You know, you've brought this up, I think maybe even the last time we talked, Jake Sullivan, days before October 7th, 2023, saying that the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades. I mean, it's as if he manifested the worst possible proof that is wrong into existence on October 7th of last year. The stability of that region has dramatically changed under the administration with which Jake Sullivan serves. What responsibility does the United States bear on destabilizing that region or emboldening Iran?
Well, I think, again, not as a partisan commentator, because I'm not, but the answer is a lot. For not only did they enable Iran, but look at how tragically, at a political level, they misread what was going on in the region. I mean, Hamas didn't wake up overnight and say, hey, let's attack on October 7th. It was months and years to put that together. And the U.S. government ignored every warning sign that this was coming, consciously funneled money back into UNRWA. Do you think, for example, that nobody really knew that a senior member of Hamas's leadership was the head of the Gaza Teachers Union and being paid by UNRWA, underwritten by the U.S.? Do you think nobody knew that, that was a big shocker to anybody? So, really, I think this administration bears a lot of responsibilities on multiple levels. Not containing Iran, missing all the intel signs that this is happening, and then equivocating in support of Israel as Israel is trying to respond and de-escalate the situation. The United States is looking weak, which encourages Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran to take the next step. So, yeah, if you're saying, is a feckless American policy a big reason why we're here today? Yeah, you bet. And if you're saying, will the future of this region ever be more peaceful unless the United States adopts much more responsible policies in the region? The answer is, yeah, no, it's never going to be peaceful unless we go back to being smart about this and we quit enabling these guys. Which, by the way, is not just about changing policy. It's about getting rid of a whole bunch of people in this government who believe that Israel is the problem.
That's a statement that I don't know that one of the candidates is willing to make right now who would like to be the commander in chief. Jim Carafano with us right now with the Heritage Foundation. We have been assured, at least by Fox News, the network that we are watching here, that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are monitoring the situation. What does that mean to us civilians here when we hear that they're monitoring the situation?
They're doing nothing. I mean, look, we just had we've had probably at least two presidencies that were dramatically affected by hurricanes. The first George Bush, a big reason why he crashed and burned in the end was because there was a massive hurricane in Florida, devastated Homestead Air Force Base. But Bush largely perceived, failed in that. Back then, Florida was a swing state. Really, he lost the election. Katrina was devastating to the second George Bush in terms of his credibility and reputation. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that American elections happen in the middle of hurricane season. And so if you are an incumbent or in government, and knowing that a hurricane can happen, and knowing that if the response in the hurricane is not actually very good, that you will pay a price for that. We had a president who went on vacation on the weekend, and Harris did nothing. She went to a fundraiser in California. She came back. She gave a 5-minute talk at FEMA headquarters. She put out a photo of her, you know, pretending like she's taking a briefing on the plane, where it's obviously she's not. Yeah. I mean, it was a disaster, I think, of a public response from them. And then they turn right around, and this happens, and their response is, we're monitoring the situation. I mean, there's something wrong with your campaign when your opponent's advertising for the campaign is just showing pictures and clips of you talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole pot. That's the whole play. And it's leaving Americans, I think, wanting for a lot more. The vice presidential debate happens to be tonight. I know that the president is obviously the commander in chief. What is the vice president's role? Should they be asked a question about the conflict that escalated today? Do you expect to hear reaction to this?
I don't know because I don't know what they're going to ask. But, you know, vice presidents are supposed to echo this is what my candidate would do. And so that is what you would expect to hear from them. Look, the challenge here is very, very simple. We have one because we look with 30 in the last 30 years, our political parties have become less ideologically and geographically diverse. So we essentially, the Republican Party is a conservative party. The Democratic Party is a progressive party. One party is all in for Israel. The other party is torn between backing Israel and supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. And what you're going to hear on the stage tonight, if that question comes up, is answers that reflect that.
Jim Carafano speaking with us right now at the Heritage Foundation. Before I let you go, I want to just ask you an absolutely nonpartisan question to give, hopefully, Americans some peace of mind. But our ability, our military's ability to withstand any escalation that might pull us closer to actual conflict, are the United States military operations in a position to be able to protect and secure the United States of America right now?
In the Middle East, yes. We have pre-positioned probably more military power than we have ever done in that region in recent time. It's either going to deter Iran from escalating the war, or if Iran really seriously conducts up, it's going to help protect Israel. And if we'd done policies right, we wouldn't have made that deployment. But that deployment is the last line of defense, and if it's used appropriately, it's more than adequate. But the question is, will it be used appropriately? The Houthis the other day literally attacked U.S. naval ships, and we did nothing. So I, if you're asking me, is the force appropriate to the task? Absolutely. If you're asking me, are the commanders capable of making the right decisions to defend America's interests and the lives of our servicemen and women that are in the region? The answer is, I don't know. Ask me when it's over.
Jim Carafano, thank you for your time today. We're very grateful for it, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Good talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano from Poland reporting on the conflict that has escalated today in Israel, Iran launching a missile attack across the entirety of Israel, according to Fox News. No casualties have been reported, and Israel doing Israel things has reopened its airspace now.
Very quick.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
It's wild to me. It's got to be about, what, is it like 9:20 right there right now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I believe Dakota Wood is going to join us when we return. A question that I was going to ask Jim, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to lead or at least get into this initially with Dakota Wood, who is the owner and CEO of Hot Gates Consulting. We are going to talk to him when we come back. He is a lieutenant colonel, retired in the United States Marine Corps. The biggest, I mean, this is just the way humans naturally think, but the biggest question is, how does this affect us? Now, I know people who are in Israel right now. I've been having conversations. You guys were able to hear some of those before the show began today with people who have family members that were instructed to go into bomb shelters today. There's an understanding in Israel that is not one that we have about bomb shelters, missile strikes, Iron Dome. I kind of think in my mind it's got to be kind of like a tornado warning. You hear it happens. In the Midwest, we know that happens. When you're in Florida, we've talked about this, about how Florida people are like, it's a hurricane. We have hurricanes. It'll probably not hit us. Now we see what a hurricane actually can do with Hurricane Helene. So it's you respect it, but you don't over-sensationalize it. You do what you're supposed to do to prepare for the instance when it happens. And it feels like the way the Israeli people understand their existence, they know that these rocket attacks, these missile attacks are going to happen, and they live their life understanding that this region of the world has to deal with that. And they also know that Israel is prepared to defend as best as they can against these types of attacks. And it's just, you see missiles flying in to your home, and I'm looking at it over a television screen going, man, this turns my stomach. It makes me very uncomfortable to see it. In Israel, they have a different kind of, not acceptance, but an understanding of that being reality.
Yeah, they live in that reality constantly. The difference with this one versus, you know, when Hezbollah fires missiles from the north, is that this is the country of Iran, and they have chosen to fire missiles at the entirety of Israel. So you have to think there are parts of Israel that you think, oh, well, if I live in this area, obviously I'm more prone to deal with this than others. This is one where the entire country was on red alert.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is you got to keep in mind, too, that Israel's not a big country, like landmass wise.
No, it's the size of New Jersey.
Yeah, it's very small. So to carpet that from a country the size of Iran isn't like unheard of. But like the other thing is, too, if I said, hey, Ryan, where's the nearest bomb shelter? You wouldn't know that. I don't know where it is. But if you live in Israel, you do. You just know where the shelters are, because whenever the sirens go off, you go to the shelters. It's weird to think that people have to live underneath that sort of threat and that they have to have that sort of plan in place.
We're going to take a quick break. Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood is going to join us when we return. And the question that I want to ask him is, what's the red line? Because we've heard about people articulating red lines, and then it's the red line gets crossed, and then we're like, welp. What is the red line? Where does the United States have an obligation that even a bipartisan response will say, nope, that's the line that you've crossed? Are we anywhere near that? Maybe we're not. There's discussion with no casualties being reported. However, there was a terrorist attack in Tel Aviv. I think it was in Tel Aviv before. The reports that I heard earlier were that 10 people were shot, that they were potentially were multiple gunmen. And earlier in the day, they had not been neutralized. So that happened earlier, but then with the missile attack coming in from Iran, there are no known casualties that have been reported from that. But you still have a country launching missiles to Israel in retaliation for Israel's surgical removal of leaders within these terrorist organizations that seek to eliminate Israel. It's complicated for sure, but Israel is our ally and another country is now attacking it. You saw what happened, what we were willing to do to Ukraine when Russia went into Ukraine, and Ukraine isn't an ally of the United States the way Israel is. Dakota Wood will be with us to talk about that and to discuss the existence of, if there is one, that red line. More on the Annie Fry Show when we come back.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've been watching as Iran has launched a missile attack against Israel, of which the IDF has intercepted those missiles. It doesn't appear as though there are any casualties from the strike that Iran was launching. The question is, have we witnessed the first wave of something more, or was Iran trying to make a statement? We'll retaliate in this way. It won't cause a lot of damage, but we'll get credit for having done something. Who knows what is next? And of course, the question that we're all interested in, what is the United States' responsibility in the matter as our Israel ally is under attack? Let's get to our next guest. Excited to have Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood on with us once again. He's the owner and CEO of Hot Gates Consulting. Thank you so much for being back with us, Colonel. We appreciate your time today.
It's been too long. I love your team and what you do on the air. Just thanks for having me on.
Oh, you bet. It has been too long. You're right on that. Can I just ask you to set the table for us and tell us what you've observed today, what your thoughts are on this attack on Israel from Iran?
The Israelis have once again shown how good they can actually be when they have their act together. I mean, just the decimation that they have imposed on Hezbollah with the Patriot attacks and the handheld radios, precision bombing against senior leadership, both from Hamas and Hezbollah, even getting Nasrallah in a deeply buried, hardened bunker where they used almost a jackhammer approach, you know, sequencing various bombs to pummel its way several scores of feet underground to get Nasrallah. They've conducted the assassination attack of the senior leader in Tehran. Remember, that was there for a funeral service for somebody else. They've just shown extraordinary effectiveness. And what that has done is, one, killed off just about all the senior Hamas leadership, all the top tier echelon of Hezbollah. So it's sent them reeling, and it's greatly embarrassed the Iranian regime in Tehran. So amongst those three groups, the Iranians in particular, they had to do something to kind of reclaim their honor, you know, that they aren't completely ineffective. And so I think tonight, their time, a barrage of nearly 200 ballistic missiles was their kind of a grasping effort to try to regain some honor, to answer back to what Israel has been able to do to them. My guess is they will now be quiet for a week to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. They're already claiming 80% of their rockets hit targets in Israel, which is did not happen. And then Israel will return its full focus on killing off Hezbollah leadership and decimating or destroying a lot of the sites that they've been mapping for the last half year or so.
I think every time one of these things happens, I'm always reminded by experts like you that we get to listen to about the gamesmanship of attacks like this.
Huge.
I mean, it's scary to look at it when you don't know anything about war. War is hell. War is frightening. And for us, you know, sitting securely in the Midwest, at least we like to think so, you see these missiles being launched over Israel, and it's incredibly intimidating. But then I hear people saying, you know, this was just like this was a response so that they could say that they responded. Israel did what they had to do. What is the natural response for Israel based on a no casualty death, no casualties from these missiles? It didn't seem to do much destruction. What's the natural response?
It enables both sides. The Israeli side, again, no deaths that have been reported. It enables them to say, we held the line, and look how good our defenses are without having to go on the offense against Iran. Iran can then, you know, claim its honor has been restored by, you know, attacking the little Satan, being Israel. And, you know, they're always in a fight with the Sunni powers in that region, the states contest between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and Iranian sponsorship of so many groups that operate in Syria, in Lebanon, primarily Hezbollah, they're in the southern part, Hamas and others, right? So everybody's kind of honor has been served here. And to a point that you made, we tend to forget that war, diplomacy, economics really have people at the heart of it. You know, so you've got a bunch of academics and policy pundits and whatnot that will kind of wax eloquently about theories. But when it comes down to it, these are actual people that have to make decisions on a minute by minute basis about what their power standing is amongst their power structure, you know, their electorate or the people who have sponsored them or they fear might rise up against them. So this spat of some missiles being fired, you know, 200, can't sneeze at that, I think kind of assuages Iranian concerns about being able to retaliate. Israel once again shows technological mastery. It tracking an incoming ballistic missile, they will project where they think it's going to hit. If it's just going to land in the desert, why expend an anti-missile missile, right? They just shoot down the ones that pose some kind of a hazard to civilians or critical infrastructure. And so it's an amazing display of technology, decision-making, risk assessment, political interests. And on the Israeli side, can you really trust others to come help you? You know, the British and the French and the Americans and Canadians and whoever else might talk a good game from the safety of Washington, D.C. or London. Nobody's pummeling our country with missiles, right? So we can talk about diplomacy and taking the higher road and these sorts of things. But the Israelis have been subject to, there was another terrorist attack today, right, in the coastal city of Jaffa, where half a dozen were killed and several others were wounded due to a gunfire. So this is a daily status of living in the country of Israel. And so they make very, very hard calls that are more risk tolerant than what we would be comfortable with, you know, unless we were actually under attack. So it's just this stuff should be studied. I love your shows, you know, covering this sort of thing, and it should cause Americans to consider what would we be willing to do in war, and if you want to prevent war, and other countries only appreciate strength, what is our current status as a country? You know, are we united? Do we have military capabilities that, you know, are relevant to the global security situation? How is our economy doing? And we should be thinking about what we would do if we were in Israel's position.
Yeah, I think those are all very healthy thoughts and conversations to be having right now. Dakota Wood joins us to discuss today's Iran attack on Israel and Israel's assured defense system in place and doing what it is supposed to do to keep the people of Israel safe. You mentioned, you know, how much can Israel rely on their friends right now? Mm-hmm. That, my question is, you know, what is a red line for the United States in an instance like this where we're seeing an ally under attack in this regard? Where does it become imperative that America gets involved at a much higher level?
Well, 15 years ago, we would have been more willing to get involved because we had more stuff to use in getting involved. Today, we have essentially half the size of the military that we did in the Cold War, and most of the stuff we have is very old. I mean, the average age for an Air Force fighter, the kind that have been deployed to the Middle East, is 32 years old. You know, 32 years, that's the average age of a fighter. We have 294 ships, I think, total. Cold War, we had nearly 600. Most of the ships we have are older than 20 years of age. So you just don't, when you don't have as much stuff, it makes you more reluctant to commit what you do have to a potential war in the Middle East, right, where you might have other interests, like in the Indo-Pacific. You know, what would you do with China? What are you going to do with Venezuela? If things continue to go the way they're going between Russia and Ukraine, you know, do you need some kind of capability in case, you know, the war spills over into Poland or, you know, another NATO ally or something? So in this administration we have, the Biden administration, coming into a presidential election cycle, clearly, the last thing they want to do is get involved in a war in the Middle East. And that's the last thing they want to do. So we see lots of rhetoric, lots of discussion about the importance of diplomacy, trying to get to a peaceful situation. And it rings hollow if you're in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem when you have Iranian ballistic missiles coming down on your head, right? Or you have Hezbollah that's been killing people, or Hamas that slaughtered, you know, so many on October 7th, you know, nearly a year ago. So what is the red line for the Biden administration? I don't know. I don't know what that answer is. Unless Iran was able to coordinate with Hezbollah, and instead of 200 missiles, it was 2,000 missiles. That might cause us to get involved.
Dakota, I want to ask you a question a little bit more in the political realm, but in a campaign season. I mean, think about what is happening in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
I would assume that the position that a new administration, whether it's a Harris-Walz administration or a resurgence into the Trump doctrine, the Trump way of doing things, would dramatically affect what's taking place in the Middle East. What's at stake with this election and the Middle East?
Well, Trump demonstrated that, if you remember Bashar al-Assad, when he used chemical munitions against his own people in Syria, Trump ordered the launch of 100 or 114 or something Tomahawk cruise missiles against sites in Syria that were associated with these chlorine gas, you know, chemical munition sorts of attacks on the Syrian people. And so that was a demonstration of where then President Trump was willing to use American military power to send a very, very clear message to whomever the dictator was, al-Assad at this point in time, that the use of those kinds of instruments of military power were just intolerable. So if you had a Harris administration, what would her view be of American interests in the Middle East and her willingness to use military power to destroy Iranian missile launch sites or the manufacturing centers that are making the missiles that the Houthis in Yemen are using to attack innocent commercial shipping up and down the coast of Yemen there in the Red Sea and the Sea of Oman. So, what was her view? And she's been very ambiguous about what her decision process would be and where she thinks that she would actually take action. You know, she'll talk about diplomacy. She'll talk about things that shouldn't be allowed, like a nuclear Iran, but she is evasive in terms of saying what she would actually do in certain situations. And you can get ambiguous with notional scenarios. You know, it's all speculative, but she doesn't have a track record of saying those sorts of things. Trump can be all over the map on stuff,
yeah,
but he has a track record of actually making decisions that resulted in the use of either economic incentives, tariffs and those sorts of things, or military power, cruise missiles and aircraft strikes against enemy targets when the interests warranted that. So it's one way to think about the two nominees.
I want to ask you one last question, and this has just kind of occurred to me over the course of our conversation here today, is that, this is a country striking Israel, which is a little bit different than infiltrated terrorist attacks like October 7th, even though we know that the funding definitely does come from Iran. I hear a lot about the people of Iran and the difference between the mindset of many of the people of Iran and the people who are in charge of, who are leading Iran. Can you talk a little bit about the dichotomy there between the powers, the government, or the power systems in Iran, and how that may not mirror exactly, if you're just like, well, let's wipe Iran off the map. Of course, that's not what we would want to have happen. But the people there aren't necessarily in lockstep with what their government is engaging in.
That is a great point. And if we think about patterns of over the last few years, it wasn't that long ago. Remember when there was kind of one as part of the rainbow or the colored revolutions? There was one in Egypt and there was an uprising of popular discontent in Iran during the Obama administration. And the U.S. position was, we're not going to get involved. We're not going to support, the freedom-loving people in Iran. And that incentivized the theocracy, the religious ruling regime in Tehran, to use brutal force and cracking down on these protests. So the Iranian regime rules by fear, intimidation, military, political force. Their customs. It's the religious police that go out and will beat women if they're not appropriately attired, or if they're out without a male escort. And so that's the kind of rule by force that keeps the Iranian people in check. But they're very educated. The people are. They do travel. They do know what's going on outside. But they have no physical ability to protect themselves or to fight back against the government that has exclusive use or control of force, whether it's religious police or it's military forces or their special operations capabilities, what have you. So the Iranian regime has as much to fear internal to Iran as they do external to Iran, where they think that Israel might try to strike them if they get ever more closer to having a nuclear capability. Mm-hmm. And so if you're living in Iran, you have to be on the good side of the government or be fearful of, life and your ability to earn a living and to travel and do the things that, we freely do here in the West.
Tyranny in action. It's terrible to see. Dakota Wood, thank you for your time today. And we really hope that we can get you back, because I assume that these issues in the next, especially, 4 or 5 weeks or so, are going to become very, very important issues to be discussing. We appreciate your time.
Blessing for me to be on with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, he is the owner and CEO of Hot Gates Consulting, and we are excited to have him back with us. Jim Carafano and Dakota Wood back to back is quite an honor to have on the show. We were glad we were able to work them in. And when we come back, we'll get Ryan Wiggins back in the studio and we'll reset a little bit from where we are. Guys, there's a vice presidential debate tonight. We haven't talked about it yet. We weren't sure at the beginning of the show if we would talk about it at all, but the airspace in Israel is back open again. The missiles, I think they said 184 missiles identified that were Iranian missiles that were shot over Israel. No casualties. It seems as though it was an ineffective but public display of dissatisfaction from Iran. And for now, there is a pause. People have been able to leave their shelters. People are still on high alert in Israel, and we will continue to monitor the situation should anything else begin to brew over the skies of Israel. We're going to take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show after this. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Best laid plans. Well, now Jake Sullivan, Mr. The Middle East Has Never Been More Quiet, 2 days before October 7th is speaking. Can we listen into that? Speaking of best laid plans, they changed it in Houston. Let's listen into what the National Security Advisor is speaking on right now.
We are still working with the IDF and the authorities in Israel to assess the impact of the attack. But at this time, and I stress at this time, we do not know of any deaths in Israel. We are tracking the reported death of a Palestinian civilian in Jericho in the West Bank. We do not know of any damage to aircraft or strategic military assets in Israel. In short, based on what we know at this point, this attack appears to have been defeated and ineffective. This was first and foremost the result of the professionalism of the IDF, but in no small part because of the skilled work of the U.S. military and meticulous joint planning in anticipation of the attack. We are also aware of reports of a terrorist attack in Jaffa that took the lives of a number of Israeli civilians and wounded several others today. Our condolences go out to the families of the victims and to the family of the Palestinian civilian in Jericho. Obviously, my update here is based on early reports, and we reserve the right to amend and adjust as necessary as we gather more information. The word fog of war was invented for a situation like this. This is a fluid situation. We will consult with the Israelis on next steps in terms of the response and how to deal with what Iran has just done, and we will continue to monitor for further threats and attacks from Iran and its proxies. We are particularly focused on protecting U.S. service members in the region. And with that, I'll take just a few questions. Yeah.
Thanks, Jake. Is the administration making any preparations to evacuate U.S. citizens from Lebanon or elsewhere in the region?
We have been very clear for some time now that U.S. citizens should avail themselves of commercial means to depart Lebanon, given everything that's going on. We have said that from this podium, from multiple podiums. We continue to say that, but we have not begun triggering a non-combatant emergency evacuation, a NEO, and do not have an intention to do so at this time. If that changes, we'll let you know. But we continue to reinforce the point. American citizens in Lebanon should follow the guidance from the State Department, which is to find civilian commercial means to depart, because in extremis, we may not be able to get them out safely. Yes.
Thanks, Jake. What is the U.S. view on whether Israel should retaliate, and what is your concern about this leading to a wider escalation of war in the region?
We've had some initial discussions with the Israelis in the aftermath of this at the military level and also at the White House to Prime Minister's office level. We'll continue those conversations in the hours ahead. I'm not going to prejudge or get ahead of anything. We want to have some deep consultations with the Israelis, and I'll have more to report to you after we get the opportunity for deeper discussions.
And escalation in the region?
Obviously, this is a significant escalation by Iran, a significant event, and it is equally significant that we were able to step up with Israel and create a situation in which no one was killed in this attack in Israel, so far as we know at this time. We are now going to look at what the appropriate next steps are to secure, first and foremost, American interests, and then to promote stability to the maximum extent possible as we go forward. Yeah.
Back in April, the president's message to Israel was to take the win when the U.S. and Israel were able to intercept the barrage of Iranian missiles. Is he recommending a similarly limited response this time?
I will not, from this podium, share the president's recommendations. He will have the opportunity to share them directly. We're going to have, as I said, ongoing consultations with the Israelis this afternoon, this evening. It is too early for me to tell you anything publicly in terms of our assessment or in terms of what our expectations are of the Israelis or the advice that we will give them.
So will he be speaking to Prime Minister Netanyahu today?
I don't have anything to announce from this podium, but I can tell you that he is tracking this minute by minute. We are very much deeply in touch with the Israelis, and insofar as we have calls to read out, we'll make sure to read them out with you. Just last question, then I'll turn it over.
Thank you, Jake. In April, after Iran struck Israel, the U.S. issued a number of sanctions as a consequence. This morning, the president said there would be severe consequences if Iran carried out this attack. What are those consequences, and are they more severe than sanctions?
Totally legitimate question, and that answer will come based on the conversations and consultations we have with our Israeli counterparts. It's too soon for me to stand before you today and give you an answer. What I can tell you is this. We are proud of the actions that we've taken alongside Israel to protect and defend Israel. We have made clear that there will be consequences, severe consequences for this attack, and we will work with Israel to make that the case. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
So we've been listening to Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, and if it's okay with you, I'd rather not listen to Corinne Jean-Pierre.
We can just maybe carry the entirety of the Corinne Jean-Pierre speech in the 2 o'clock hour. We don't want to cut her short here, is what you're saying, right?
What are you doing? No, if you want her, go find her.
I want to know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes, and I feel like we get such candid answers from them.
She said, "Did you hear that misinformation clip? Did you cut that where she was talking yesterday about?" She was asked by Ducey.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, cut 18. Do I have time for this? Yes. Let me find the right microphone. This is what we're going to play from yesterday, because Crenshaw Pierre is so bad at this that she might actually be good.
I think it's important to correct the record here. First of all, the false representation.
Get on with it.
Of the data I shared. So that was what we were seeing, false representation. I got to call that out. We got to call that out. And it's been fact-checked by some of your colleagues here, by multiple outlets that has been debunked on what has been...
You know when when your child comes up to you and the cookies are missing from the table, the chocolate chip cookies, and they got chocolate all over their face. And you're like, do you know where the chocolate chip cookies went? And they're like, absolutely not. And I'm offended that you'd accuse me of such a thing. And you're like, where'd the chocolate come from on your face? And they're like, I didn't do that. It must have been put there.
Falsely misrepresented.
Can you clarify what the misrepresentation is?
The numbers that is being put out about...
That's my favorite. The numbers that is.
How many people are out has been falsely represented here. If we're going to report something, a data that's out there, we got to do it in a way that is not confusing.
What, you remember the movie Liar Liar, where he's like, I can't because it's devastating to my case.
Using the American people, and certainly not lying.
She's not good at it.
My gosh. You're right. She almost is so bad at it that you're like, I forgot what I was even waiting for.
Yeah. Makes you want to just like run through the wall and leave a shape in the wall the size of your body. And
yeah.
Like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. Good for you, Peter Ducey. Do you get hazard pay? All right. We might have a normal 2 o'clock hour. We're going to wait and see if Israel remains calm. Go check out the podcast for Jim Carafano and Dakota Wood this hour. We'll be right back.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.